Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I want to read the whole chapter before I begin. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord. And let me just say that, because I'm not going to deal with it. It doesn't mean that God changed. Exactly. But it's talking about God being grieved. Mm-hmm. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But, oh, how we ought to give glory to God for that small conjunction. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end. Now think about it. Think about it. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. This was a promise.
Yes, sir.
From God. It was not merely a threat.
Yeah, you're right.
Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. It was a box, a rectangular-shaped box, a large box.
Amen.
A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Amen. Remember, Noah is told this before he even begins building.
That's right.
But, here we go. But, oh, thank God. But with thee, you see it? But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt, not you ought to, you shall. This is the way it's going to be.
Yes, sir.
And thou shalt come into the ark, thou, and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. of fowls after their kind and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah.
Amen.
And let us not be afraid of that word,
Amen.
Did.
That's right.
Or do.
Yeah.
Some people think we're afraid of that word. No, we're not afraid of that word. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. My title for this morning's message, and the main thrust of my message, is this: six pre-flood nevers. Six pre-flood nevers. That is, six things that I want us to consider. And they'll be used with the word never. Now, I don't intend on dealing with the ark and the types and the symbols. Now, and do not misunderstand me. I am not belittling those things, those types and those symbols. But when it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, that's not a type or a symbol.
Amen.
That's the real thing.
Exactly.
When it said Noah was a just man in his generations and walked with God, that's not a type and a symbol.
Exactly.
That's the real thing. What I want to try to do this morning is deal with the actual historical account which speaks of God Almighty saving, not just physically. He saved the human race. Physically.
Yes, sir.
He saved the human race.
Amen.
In eight people.
Exactly.
And he saved all of the animals that had breath in its nostrils, that breathed breath into its lungs. He saved all of them too. In those twos. And that's the only purpose God had for that. Most people think about it, and I'm not going to deal with this a lot, but most people think that when Noah preached for 120 years, and it says he was a preacher of righteousness,
yes, sir,
they think that Noah was preaching to men and women, trying to get them to repent so they'd get on the boat too. That's not what was going on.
Exactly.
Noah preached God's righteousness.
Amen.
For 120 years, and the righteousness of God for them, for the world, was he's going to damn you.
Exactly.
He's going to fill your lungs with water and destroy you from off the face of the earth. Joe, that's the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Most people think God's judgment is just what God's hand is forced to do.
Yeah.
No, it says, what if God willing, what if God willing to show His wrath?
Amen.
So, here begins, I says begins, the inspired account of Noah and the flood. But note the connection with the pre-flood names. And our minds, we know this, but our minds are prone to get to a chapter and we think it's starting over a whole new subject. But it says, and. Do you see it? And, so he is clearly connecting what he's about to give an account of here, Moses is, he's clearly connecting it to all of those pre-flood names.
Yeah.
Consider this, just a couple preliminary thoughts. Adam and Seth both died before Noah's birth. That's the first preliminary thought. Adam and Seth both died before Noah's birth. However, they were the only two in this list of names that died before Noah's birth. Here's the second preliminary thought. Enos, Cainan, Mahalalel, Jared, even Enoch, who lived less years than any of them, and he didn't really, you can't say he just lived, he lived and was caught up. He didn't die. But even, think of it, Enos, Cainan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, and Lamech all lived anywhere from 84 to 600 years after Noah's birth.
That's right.
That's amazing. Think of it. All of them did. Even Enos was alive when Noah was born. So here's the third thought. It very well may have been that Methuselah, go back and look at the figures sometime if you want, it may very well have been that Methuselah and Lamech may have bounced little Shem, Ham, and Japheth on their knee.
That's right.
Now Shem, Ham, and Japheth seemed to have been triplets because they were all born in the same year. Either had to be a set of twins and then one singular, or all three triplets. That's not the point. The point is, here was Methuselah and Lamech very possibly bouncing little Shem, Ham, and Japheth on their knee. And yet, again we read, and it came to pass. You see it? And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. And what does he say during these names? Such and such is born to so and so. And then they begat sons and daughters. Isn't that what it says? So we're still reading the same thing here. Remember, all of them are still alive at this point of time other than Adam and Seth.
Exactly.
And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, and who are the sons of God in the context? It's at least these men whose names are given, that's been begatten and begatten and begatten.
Yeah.
Maybe you've read or heard some of the things. There are people out there that say this was the angels.
Oh yeah.
You ever heard that nonsense?
Oh, yeah.
Our Lord lets us know that's not so.
Yeah.
These sons of God in the context are Adam, Seth, Edith, Cainan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, and Lamech, and Noah. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they chose them wives. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Now are we ready for Genesis chapter 6 now? Now are we ready to see what God says in Genesis chapter 6?
Yeah.
Two more preliminary things before we get to the six nevers. First of all, the first preliminary thing, and it came to pass.
Amen. That's right.
And when I thought about that phrase, I thought this, and it always does when man chooses.
Yeah.
When man is given his choice,
yes.
Exactly. Look what comes to pass.
Exactly.
The sons of God did not marry the daughters of God.
Yeah.
The sons of God married the daughters of men. Unbelievers.
Amen. That's right. That's what it says. Amen.
They took all that they what? Chose.
There you go.
Men. Oh, hold on now. Hold on.
Yeah.
And they took them wives of all which they chose. Let me tell you something, folks. So listen to me. We don't want God to give us our choice.
Exactly.
Because our choice will ruin us and may well ruin others around us. And it came to pass. And it always does. Look, downward spiral.
Yeah.
Now man's already totally depraved.
Yes, sir.
But he now begins to manifest it in unprecedented violence and self-choice.
Exactly.
Now, here's the other preliminary thing. Here are the six nevers shown in this chapter. That's what my title again is. Six pre-flood nevers. Here's the first one. Never, never think that a believer's conduct does not matter.
You're right.
Good or evil.
There you go. You're right.
The sons of God, seeing the daughters of men, and they took them wives of all which they chose. We talk about depravity, and we preach total depravity, and men and women hear us preach total depravity, and they think we're talking about everybody else but ourselves. We're talking about ourselves as well. Even born-again believers are full of corruption and deceit.
Yes, sir.
And if God gives us our choice, we will start in a downward spiral from which we cannot recover ourselves, save God Almighty move in and stop us.
Amen.
Look at David the king.
Yeah.
That's all I need to mention.
Look at Lot. Yeah.
Lot is you.
Mm-hmm.
Lot is me.
Exactly.
Lot is not a type or symbol. He's me. He's you by nature. Never think that the believer's conduct doesn't matter. Paul put it this way, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. And I've always known this verse, but it was three words that it slipped my mind. You've heard the phrase, evil communications corrupt good manners. But that's just not sound advice. The first three words of that verse are this, be not deceived.
There you go. Amen.
Improper associations. I will give you what he's actually saying there. Improper associations corrupts. Not may, not could,
right.
Not might. Evil, improper associations corrupts good behavior.
Amen.
Good conduct.
Right.
It is a set law by God, like we call the law of gravity. This is a set law. You associate with the wrong things and the wrong people, it will corrupt you.
Exactly.
It will corrupt me. And that's from marriage all the way down to the message you hear preached by men.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Be not deceived. Well, I listen to this preacher. I don't know that he really knows the truth, but he says some good things. So did Satan.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Be careful what and who you associate with.
Right.
God destroyed a whole world one time because the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, they were beautiful, and they said, I want that one, and I want that one. And with no regard for what? The whole earth had corrupted God's what? Way.
Yes, sir.
Way. Think of this. There was no law even then given from Sinai. And yet God says, I have a way.
Yeah.
And when men corrupt that way, oh, here's the second never. Joe's done giving it to you. I give him permission to do this. Never underestimate all men's depravity, saved or lost.
There you go. Yes, sir.
Do you hear what I said?
Amen.
Never underestimate your depravity.
Exactly. Amen.
Listen to what, and you don't have to turn there, but if you want, you can. But Isaiah chapter 1, and you know the passage. Verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah.
Amen.
You are no better than those vile homosexuals that God destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's exactly it.
Oh, never underestimate all men's depravity. Well, that was back then. Oh, you look, read some of it. There were men of renown born during some of this time. They established whole cities.
Mm-hmm.
One of them learned to use brass or whatever it was. These were wise men and women. Many of them lived hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, they had time to figure things out.
Oh, yeah.
They had civilizations.
Exactly.
But the whole earth was filled with violence. And it began with the sons of God.
That's it.
Is that not the context here?
That's what
we like to think, well, here's old Methuselah and Lamech and Enos and all these folks, and boy, they're just serving the Lord. Here's these great, great believers of old, and everybody else around them was bad. No, they were just as bad by nature.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Just as bad by nature. And when God Almighty gives us our choice, our depravity will show forth itself in unprecedented manner.
You're
Here's the third never. Never think that God is under obligation to show mercy. You hear what I said? Never think that God is under obligation to show mercy. God says God is never obliged to umpire.
That's right. Exactly.
That's the word for strife.
Yeah.
To umpire. God is never obliged to umpire. Look at it. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. God turned men over to themselves for 120 years, and look what happened.
Exactly.
The whole earth was filled with violence.
Amen.
To umpire means this, to enforce the rules. And God, for 120 years, stopped enforcing the rules. Gave man his sway.
Yeah.
And look where man took himself to.
Exactly.
Hmm?
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means that God stopped restraining men's actions.
Yes, sir.
He stopped restraining men's actions. And when God Almighty don't restrain you, I don't care whether you're lost or saved, you will start in a downward spiral.
Yes, sir.
You will start in a downward spiral. Third thing here about never think God is under obligation to show mercy. Remember, he's not obliged to umpire. He can let you go. Paul said, even in Paul's day, Paul said, God gave some people over to a reprobate mind.
Amen.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
And folks, I think we see a lot of that in our day too.
Yeah.
Look at the TV and you see some of the horrid things that we do to one another now.
Yeah.
God's turning men over to a reprobate mind. He stopped umpiring. He stopped enforcing the rules. He stopped restraint.
Yeah.
Here's where we take ourselves.
Exactly.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. It never fails. But here's the third thing. God removes his restraint and men will boom in rebellion.
Yeah.
Verse 11, and God looked upon the earth and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. Not it might be, if you can't get some of them on this boat.
Mm-mm. Right.
I'm going to kill them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to save 8 of you. And I'm going to save the animals. But that's it.
Amen.
People think Noah was out there trying to get people saved. No! He says it condemned the world with an overflow.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was preaching to men their damnation.
Mm-hmm.
And he was letting them know God's going to save his people.
Yeah.
That's what he was preaching. Yeah. It would have been a farce for Noah to offer all these men and women a place on the ark. It wasn't made for every man, woman, boy, and girl.
That's right.
It was made to a specified size.
Yeah.
Fit for the task at hand. Huh? I mean, Joe, it had room enough for all the people and all the animals and all their food.
Yes, sir.
What else does you need? And that's what the ark was designed for.
Amen.
Mm. Here's the fourth never. Never despair. Now remember, God is under no obligation to show mercy.
That's right.
Now is he? God, he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
Amen.
And whom I will,
yeah,
I'll harden. And God doesn't have to put something in a man to harden him. All God's got to do is what? Quit umpiring.
Yeah.
Quit striving. Quit enforcing the rules. Withdraw his restraint. Never, though, never, here's the fourth never, never despair of God's covenant mercy.
Amen.
God's going to save some people.
Yes, sir.
Now, whether it's me or you, we could argue about that all day long. God's going to save some folk.
Amen.
Is that not what we see in this?
Yeah.
Is that not what we see? He promised it.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to damn everybody else. I'm going to fill their lungs with water and kill them. But I'm going to save you and your wife and your three sons and their three wives.
Amen.
To everybody else. Now, folks, that is a holy God.
Amen.
That is a holy God. Look at it. But Noah found grace. Now, that don't mean grace was just laying out there in the weeds and he walked by and there it was. Okay? You look at the Hebrew word, you say he didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. He didn't merit it. He found grace.
Amen.
Noah was just like everybody else before.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Just like you and I, we found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and it's only after he found grace in the eyes of the Lord that he's declared to be a just man.
Amen.
And we know this is true. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all generations. Is that what it said?
Mm-hmm.
No. In his generations. Once God saved him, he walked with God.
Amen.
Now we know Noah was no perfect man. No sinless man, because no sooner had he got off the ark and had time to plant some grapes. Evidently, he took some grapes on that ship, on that boat, on that ark. And he had some of those seeds. And he planted them, Jabes. And after however long it takes for grapes to come up and a little bit of fermentation, he got dog drunk and passed out.
That's right.
Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
This is the same man that says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was a just man and perfect in all his generations. And Noah walked with God. You see, when you walk with God, you still are what you are by nature from the get-go.
Exactly.
That hasn't changed.
You're right.
God don't smell it up a little. He don't put a little holy perfume on it. My flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the flesh can never be anything else but flesh.
Amen.
Oh, but thank God that which is born of the Spirit can never be anything else other than what? Spirit.
Amen.
Spirit. I want to be one of those kind of people.
Yeah.
I do. Now, am I saying, I'm not talking about, oh, I want to enjoy the Adamic side. That's not what I'm talking about. Don't misunderstand me. But I want to be one of those kind. Well, I heard a pastor say one time, I think it may have been Todd Nybert. He said it's only the new man, that new creation. It's only the new man that acknowledges the sins of the old. The old man never acknowledges his own sins.
That's right.
He loves them. Drinks it up like water.
Yeah.
Drinks up iniquity like a thirsty man drinks up water. Man by nature is one natured. Man by new birth becomes two natured.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is. Somebody says, why did God leave us like that? Because He wanted to. You ever tell your kids that when they ask you? You say, okay, here's a rule. Here's the way it is. Why? Because I said so. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
You're the child. This is the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm the parent. I say this is the way it is. That's the way it is. Somebody says, I don't like that kind of parent. Yeah, you don't like God either.
There you go.
And you hate God for who He is.
Yeah.
Mm. Never despair of God's covenant mercy. Look at it. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is going to make you an ark of gopher wood.
That's right.
You see it? Make you an ark of gopher wood. And He said, Noah, it's going to be for you. It's going to be for your wife. It's going to be for your three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It's going to be for their three wives. And that's it.
Amen.
Yes or no? Is that not what this account has? And yet you read these little Bible story books and have Noah out there just preaching to men, you know. They actually think Noah was trying to get people to get on the ark. The ark's for a specific people. Joe, you done preached it this morning. Good message. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Everybody else believes not.
Exactly.
And Christ said, if you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins.
Amen.
Here's the fifth never. Never despair God's covenant provision in His covenant mercy. You're going to have enough food to get you through this trip.
Yeah.
Right? You know what He said? For you have enough food for you and that, I'm going to get you all the way to the end. Is that not what God promises His people who are in Christ? I'll give you, not necessarily your lustful desires. He ain't going to give us that. He may turn us over to Him, but He ain't going to give you that.
Exactly.
But Jack, Metis, he gives me everything I need in this life to get me through to the end.
Amen.
And if I don't have it right now, it's because I don't need it right now. If I never get it, it's because it was not for my good. And if I get it and I corrupt it, it's my fault. It's my fault, not God's. Here's the sixth never. Never belittle obedience to the means God ordained in covenant mercy. Chapter 6 of verse 22. Thus did Noah.
Amen.
Right? Thus did Noah. Don't be afraid of did.
Exactly.
Don't be afraid of do. But remember this. You have no credit for any doing. If you ever do anything God commands you, and I have turned to Hebrews chapter 13. And listen to what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. But before I read it, let me give you this. If a flood is promised, a flood that will drown men's souls in condemnation before God, will I argue before God of what I do, should do, or should not do? Huh? Not if God's giving you any spiritual wisdom at all.
That's right.
Now think about it. Noah's doing was faith in action.
Amen.
Okay? It says, by faith, Noah being warned of God, moved with fear, and built an ark to the saving of his house.
Amen.
Mac, his doing was the doing of faith.
Amen.
That's right.
And the only faith that is of any value is a doing, active, living faith.
Amen.
A faith that says, God says this, I believe Him. And if there's anything connected with me doing something, I'm going to engage in it.
Yes, sir.
Right? And look, here's why I say, wait, there's never any boast in this. Let me give it to you. If a flood is promised that will drown men's souls in condemnation before God, will I argue before God of what I should do or should not do? No, not if God's given you faith, you won't.
Amen.
If you have a God-given faith, you won't worry about do, you worry about that. Here's what faith, it obeys.
Yes, sir.
Now, a lot of people are doing a lot of things that God didn't tell them to do. You understand what I'm saying? And some of them may be great moral things. They think by that doing they're going to gain God's favor. He'd already had God's favor. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
He already had that. But he believed God. God said, we'll drown them all. Now, your only hope is on a boat.
That's right.
An ark. Right? So, here's the wood. What's Noah say? Boys, get out the axes and the saws. Get out the pitch. Start gathering up the provisions. Get us some straw and some berries. We'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Let's get to work.
Yes, sir.
Now, if work scares you,
you
don't know God.
Yeah.
Here we go now. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's the same covenant God was talking about when he said, I will make a covenant with you.
Yes, sir.
When he talked to Noah. That's the same. There is but one covenant that shows mercy and peace.
Amen.
It's the blood of the everlasting covenant. Look, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you.
Amen.
This is it. So therefore, he gets the credit for it, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Because he's the one making me do what I ought to do.
Yes, sir.
And it says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. How? Through Jesus Christ. So who gets the credit?
Amen.
Christ does, because he's the one making it happen. To whom be glory forever and ever. And that's the only glory. We'll get no glory. This thing of, well, I'll have a crown.
Yeah.
You don't get it. You don't get it. To whom be glory forever and ever. And then what's he write? Amen.
Amen.
Mac, all the glory goes to him.
Amen.
For everything, from start to finish.
Amen.
It all goes to him. Oh God, teach us these things. Teach us that truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Oh God, bow us to Christ. In his name I pray. Amen.